That will return to open session, and we will take up item six, good morning, which is our consideration of executing a contract with Chiron for actuarial auditing services. Christina.
Yes, so every 5 years we do an actuarial audit. On February 14th, 2024, the board approved granting an RFP for actuarial auditing services. The last time that we conducted an actuarial audit was 2019, so it's timely to be doing it this year. And at that time, the board had selected Chiron. They were one of the vendors that had sent in a proposal this year, along with two other vendors. The evaluation committee reviewed all of the proposals and have determined that Chiron fits the needs that Sisera has at this time. We have two of the representatives from Chiron, Graham and Mike, to present on Chiron.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here. It's an easy trip for Mike and I. Our office is in Lafayette, and we both live in the county as well. So thank you. Your offices are great. Last time I was here was 5 years ago, so you guys were still in the old building. Mm-hmm. So it is a really nice view in this room compared to the prior location. We're going to be very brief because I think you guys know us. We've worked with you before. Just go through a few slides just to give a little bit of overview, a little bit of background. We've been in business for over 20 years. This is a photo from our 20-year anniversary with most of our staff in Washington, D.C. We were formed as a company. We split off from a larger consulting firm because our principals and the original founders didn't want to impose limitations of liabilities on their clients. And that larger firm was putting that in all their contracts. So that was the impetus for the beginning of Chiron. We are in a completely employee-owned firm, and all we do is actuarial consulting. We don't have any other lines of business. We have, at this point, looks like our internet is down. Let me see if I can. Is there a public Wi-Fi in here?
What is our Wi-Fi?
It's under EI guest.
I can get you the password.
But I'll just speak while we do this.
That's right. We can scroll through your inbox if you want to.
You know what? I can pull up the slides that are not, that's just a PDF. So how about we just do that? Oh, can't do that either. Here, do you mind? Do you mind if I just hand this over to you?
It's a secure room.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here, our guest.
Yes.
So, just a little bit of background in terms of our team. So the co-leads are going to be myself and Ann Harper. Ann Harper's in our San Diego office. She works with me on five of the 1937 Act systems as co-lead. Mike Maley, you give a little background about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Mike Maley. I'm in the Lafayette Chiron office with Graham. I've been there for 12 years. Part of my role there at Chiron is to review all the technical aspects of other actuaries within the company, including Graham's clients, but I also, in the last 10 years, have gotten involved in audits of other companies' valuations. I think I go back about 20, 25 years working with the 37 Act systems. I think at this point I have worked with every one of the 20 in one capacity or another. So if we're given the work, I'm looking forward to working with Graham on this project. I'll be involved in many of the technical aspects of the valuation audit itself.
Thanks, Eric. All right, we're back online. Here we go. So, as Mike said, we have done a lot of work with the 1937 Act systems. We've worked with every single plan at this point, all 20 systems. We are currently doing an audit for Ventura, which is the last one that we hadn't worked with. We are the actuary for six of the systems. We are the actuary for LA County for the employer, and for the rest of the systems, we've done an actuarial audit. This is an interactive exhibit, so if you, I think you guys have access to the link, so if you want to see any of the findings from the, from our audits, you can click and see the findings from each of those audits. In terms of our other California audits, we've done audits for CalPERS, CalSTRS, all of the big LA systems. So really, audits in the state of California are our bread and butter. One of the things that we really like to emphasize in our work is using technology to help communicate results and look forward for your plan. So not just looking at, you know, what did Siegel say is the contribution rate for this year, but how do your policies and assumptions, how does that influence how the dynamics of the system and what's likely to happen going forward? So one of the things that we'll be doing as part of the audit is evaluating the funding policies and making sure that they are designed in a way that, that should, you know, meet your objectives. We have a pretty good sense that they will. You know, we've evaluated them before, but we have some tools that we can show you that, that really allow us to look at, you know, what if scenarios. So if we're asking a question about what would happen if there was a, you know, a 10% market loss in your contribution rates, how it, or a 10% market loss in your assets, how would that affect the contribution rates? We can do kind of comparisons like that and evaluate how your funding policy might compare, say, to a different funding policy that has a different amortization schedule, right? So we can do that kind of live modeling if you have any questions about how your policies compare to others. Also, in terms of comparisons to other systems, that's a big part of evaluating your assumptions. So we like to look at your peer group to see, you know, how do your assumptions compare? You know, are you within a reasonable range? So you're the first to see this. We've just updated and published a new online interactive database. So we can see things like, okay, here's your discount rate. We can evaluate, we can select your plan. Here's Contra Costa Sierra. This is your history of discount rates over the last 15 years and how you compare to your peer systems, right? So a lot of these tools we'll bring to bear as part of the actuarial audit. In addition, we are trying to do things where we show the information not just as tables and tables within the audit report, but try to do things in ways that maybe a little more visually easier to understand. This is an example of an audit we did for another 37 Act County. The size of the box denotes the size of the tier, right? So we've got a number of tiers, general and safety groups. We have members in pay status, deferred, and active status. And you can see the size really corresponds to how important is this group within the overall dynamics. And then we have color-coded these. So the difference between our results and the current actuaries, you know, if you're in that blue to purple range, our results are very close. You can see that there are, you may be able to see that there are two areas where we had differences between our results and theirs, these small yellow boxes. But what you can tell is because those groups are so small, they didn't have any impact on the overall, you know, discrepancies in terms of our results versus the consulting actuaries.
Well, what's the process, if any, to reconcile those differences or to evaluate them? Is there a formal process?
There is a very formal process as part of the audit. What we will do is if we see differences in the overall results, and even if we don't, we'll ask for individual test lives. So we'll ask Siegel, can you provide us the results, the present value of benefit, the liability, the normal cost for specific individuals, compare those. And usually if we're looking at specific individuals, and we get differences, we can ask specifically where those differences are. Is it in the retirement benefits? Is it in the disability benefits? Is it in the death benefits? We can ask about individual assumptions, right? The rates of retirement and how those are applied. That usually allows us to resolve the differences. And I will say that in the, how many, 10 audits of Siegel clients that we've done, we've always been able to resolve the differences. And by and large, we don't have big differences. We're almost always within 1% in terms of the total value of benefits. There have been instances when we've seen discrepancies in smaller groups, and we've been able to resolve those and figure out what caused those. And either we've determined that Siegel's results are reasonable and their methods might just be slightly different from, you know, the way our software works, or there have been, you know, a few cases where there are things like, in particular, you know, there's the cutoff at 30 years of service for employee contribution rates. We found a few instances where they were cutting that off based on service that included reciprocal employers, and we found that it really should only be service with the system that you're looking at, and they made changes in their programming that allowed them to accurately capture that going forward. So in every instance we've done an audit, we've really found very small differences, if anything, and they've always been easy to resolve.
Excellent. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Really, that sums up what I wanted to cover. We didn't, you know, want to take up too much of your time, but we were happy to answer any other questions that you might have about the audit process.
Any other questions? John.
Graham, would you spend a little bit more time on liability limits and your unwillingness to impose those? Give some examples or an example of how that works.
So a lot of professional service firms, especially, will ask their clients to accept a limitation of liability on the provider, like the consultant's behalf, as part of the contract that they would sign. So, you know, we would limit our liabilities if we made a mistake in our work to something like, you know, two times the fees that we've charged you. And as a practice for our firm, we don't impose, we never ask for a limitation of liability in our contracts.
Okay. Thank you.
I've run into that in my other life a lot. You see, I think it's a standard provision in architectural agreements. There are a number of disciplines that try to impose that requirement. And really, it makes no intellectual sense, you know, when you think about it.
I mean, it makes sense defensively, I guess, right, from the consultant's perspective. But, you know, we think it's important to stand behind our work.
Well, you know, everything we do has consequences. So the idea that a consequence would be limited to the professional service fees paid is, to me, is just a non-starter. I mean, it doesn't make any intellectual sense. So I think it's a great policy. Anything else? Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Is there a motion on this item? So this, well, let me restate it so that we're clear. This is the consider possible action to authorize the CEO to execute a contract with Chiron for actuarial auditing services. That's what's before us.
So moved.
All right, we have a motion and a second to authorize the CEO to execute a contract with Chiron. Any further discussion or questions on the item? Seeing none, let's vote on the motion. Anderson. Chabotarev.
Aye.
Gordon. Aye. Holcomb.
Aye.
Kroll.
Aye.
Mirzwa.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
Wong.
Aye.
And Finley.
Aye.
That motion carries 9-0. Thank you. Thank you both.